Amen, amen. You can pass those around. It'd be great. Thanks, babe, for helping this morning. And it's her birthday, so make sure you guys say happy birthday. That'd be awesome. But I'm going to jump into today's, it's amazing because today's message is going to be a little bit, it's not just that normal 3 points kind of, I like to be honest, so here's my honesty. Every February, we do a series called Our Story, and it's one of my favorite series of the year because we share stories and testimonies of people in our church and what God has done in the past few years. But Daniel has taken over my mind. I feel like as a church, we are 5 weeks into the Daniel series, and I haven't gone through all chapter 2 yet. And what I'm saying is God is really pulling things even out of me, that revealing things in me, even about the church and community, what God is doing personally in me, that I feel like we need to give this some more time. We haven't even got, next week we're going to talk about the fiery furnace, and then we're going to talk about God changing heart, and then we're going to talk about the lion's den. And then it's amazing, we haven't even got to that stuff that most of us know yet, because I believe that God is doing a new work. And I love hearing people say, I started reading Daniel, I started reading this. And it's hopefully scripture is becoming alive for you. When we get done with this series, we're going to start a series at our birthday called Flavors, which is the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And I'm going to ask, here's our new challenge. I'm going to ask some of you to do a video for us. And the video is about like how God and how people have showed you the fruit of the Spirit, and how you have showed the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're going to show some videos during that series. So just to let you guys know that. But next week is a fiery furnace, so make sure you're here for that. But if everybody can just stand up, we're going to jump into this. If you can put Daniel 10:12 on the board, it says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and you have come in response to them." And we believe that real life begins on the inside, that it does matter what happens to you on the outside, but honestly, what matters is what's going on the inside, what's God doing on the inside of you, and that's what grows. And some of us feel like we're always living in exile, that we're living in enemy's territory, and I always give a synopsis, but I'm just going to share briefly. The Israelites, the Judah was taken over, and Babylon took over all Judah and the Israelites, and now they're being held captive, literally, in Babylon. This is what's happening. And so Daniel and his friends, 3 friends, are there. They're slaves, young men, who were taken away from their families, and they also stole some of the high officials. They stole some of the people, and now Ezekiel, the prophet, is living in Babylon in exile. They rip people away from their families, away from their homes. So it's not just people who are away from homes. A lot of these people don't even know where their families are at. It's a huge area, and they don't even know. They're just separated. And then you have the poorest of the poor living still in Israel and Judah, and there you got the prophet Jeremiah, who is giving prophetic words from that territory to the people in Babylon. And here's what's happening. God is saying, you're still my nation, you're just not in your territory. He's creating them to be a new people in the enemy's territory. He's saying, you still got to know me, but I want you to know what it means to thrive in Babylon, to thrive in a place that you don't belong, in a place that you feel weak. And so I love this because there's a quote out there, I'm not sure who says it, but we need to learn to bloom where we are planted. You may not like where you're planted, but anybody ever go outside sometimes and you see like a flower come through, like, you know what I'm saying, a sidewalk or something that's not supposed to be there, but it's still trying to figure out a way to come through that concrete crack or come through. Because God, sometimes we're living or we're in an environment or we're at a workplace or we're with a group of people that we don't feel this is what I'm supposed to be. But God is saying you got to thrive where you're at. So let's pray this morning and jump into this. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, just as much as you need my words, Lord, but also nothing happens without a heart change. And I just pray for today. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for this morning. I pray for our hearts to be, Lord, worn by your presence, and we need you more today. Lord, I just pray. We thank you, Lord, for the day. We pray for our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Before you are seated, if you can say thank you that you are here today, and I'm glad you get to see me. So before, so and then you can grab a seat. I'm glad you get to see me. I love that. That's what my brother-in-law says all the time. It's amazing how we do certain things, and I just want to. I'm going to read through this. I know it's different. This is a different way to preach, but I want you to, there's a lot of scripture I'm going to read. But we're in chapter 2, and I already talked about how Daniel resolved in the beginning. He made a he pre-decided who he's going to be, and then he went through this identity crisis where they try to change his name. And if you weren't here, one of the first things they try to do is they enslave you, and they try to, if they can make you change your name, they're trying to change your identity. They want you to be separated from what God has called you to be, and they're trying to change him. And then I talked about the importance of prayer and what that means, what Daniel did. And you're seeing this type of thing go on. These things were laying the foundation of, because this continues on all the way through Daniel. And in the chapter 2, this is like the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And he not only did he take over Israel, he's taken over all these areas. They're literally the authority in the world. They've taken over the reign of most of the world. He's like the dictator of most of the world. He's controlled areas of Greece and Egypt and even into India. And we get to Daniel chapter 2. Let's get up on a screen. It says this: one night during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had such a disturbing dream that he couldn't sleep. He called in his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers, and he demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. Can we just pause for a second? I want you to, if you're taking notes, that is a really important thing to know. He's not saying, can you interpret the dream? He's literally saying, can you tell me what I dreamed? Which is really funny, because if you're like me, anybody, can you remember your dreams when you have dreams in the middle of the night? You wake up and a few minutes later, like sometimes you can remember them, but he's not asking, of course he remembers, he's asking somebody else, can you tell me what my dream was? So he's literally saying, can you tell me, as they stood before the king, he said, I had a dream that deeply troubles me, and I must know what it means. And then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic and said, long live the king. Tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means. But the king said to the astrologers, I am serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream was and what it means, you will be torn limb from limb. Think about this. My wife, in her interpretation of the scripture, in her translation, it literally says, they will be ripped in pieces. They'll be torn apart in pieces. This is what he's saying. He goes, it's almost like happenstance. He's there saying, if you don't tell me what I'm dreaming, well, then the consequences are, we'll just rip you apart. Think about that for a second. There's like no, like, we tell our kids, just go to your room. He's literally saying, if you don't tell me my dream, I will rip you apart. We'll send people to rip you apart. So this is how bad this guy is. But the king said to the astrologers, I am serious about this. If you don't tell me, I'll rip you limb to limb, and your houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. But if you tell me what I dream and what the dreams mean, I will give you many wonderful gifts and honors. Just tell me the dream and what it means. And so there's this dream of gold. And what's important to us, understand, I can tell you what the dream is because it describes it later, but it's not important to us. What's important is what's going on in the story. And all of a sudden, they have this dream. And so he asked for help, not just to interpret it, but he asked for help to tell him what the dream is. And I think about that. He says, if you don't do this, I will rip you from limb to limb. Pretty much saying, deliver something or you die, or publish this or perish. Think about this. There is no grace. There's no room for error here. He's literally saying, if you don't deliver this, and then I love it because verse 11 says, those enchanters actually says, no man can do this, only God can. And they even admitted it. We can't even do this. They're saying only God can do this. And the wise men admitted to Nebuchadnezzar they couldn't do what the king requested or follow through with it. And so they couldn't do this. So what the king does, this is crazy, He doesn't send a messenger. He sends an executioner to find Daniel. He sends a guy who's supposed to tear people from limb to limb to Daniel, and he sent them to carry out these orders to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and who just graduated from school in Babylon, and he says, you need to help the king. These other people can't do it. We heard a rumor that maybe you guys can help. Can you do it? And verse 14 says, he replied with wisdom and tact, saying, Daniel, saying, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? What's going on? Why is this happening? When after the executioner explained, Daniel briefly went to Nebuchadnezzar and asked that he would be given a chance to fulfill a secret. Here's what's going on. The executioner came to Daniel, and he says, if he needs help with a dream, he's already threatened. He's going to rip everybody limb to limb who can't help out. And Daniel's like, why so harsh? Remind you, he's not even Babylonian. He's not part of this culture. Even though he's going through some schooling, this is not his home. He's a slave, so he's working for the kingdom, but not really part of the kingdom. So Daniel gets this guts, and here's what he does. He tells the executioner, and he goes, I'm going to go, is it okay if I go talk to the king? So he goes, talks to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, hey, can I have some time? Can you give me some time to just figure out? He goes, I'll give you an answer. I'll tell you your dream. I'll give you an answer, but just give me some time. Give me a couple days. Give me a day. I'll pray about it. And Nebuchadnezzar goes, okay. But if you don't come back with the answer, I'm going to rip you and your friends limb to limb. So number one, I just want to say this. A great reminder from previous sermons is Daniel knew his identity. Daniel knew who he was. Daniel knew who his Lord was. And he knew that if he prepared in private, God would show up in public. Hear me out. He knew in his heart that if he just spent some time with God in private, that God would show up in his life in public. And I think we all want this public testimony, but I'm telling you, any public experience with the Lord happens with a private time with the Lord, because he knew in his heart who he was in private is who he really was. Who he was in his private time, that God will show up in his public time, he prepared in private because that's where he found his identity. He says, it's not me. He goes, so what does God say I am? God says this, and this is what we talked about before. So Daniel was able to stand in public before the king because of the strength that he was giving in private, because of the strength that God gave him. He was able to stand in public because who he was as a person in private, because he could stand before King Nebuchadnezzar in the afternoon because he stood before the King of Kings in the morning. His strength came to him in the morning when he spent time with the Lord, and he wasn't intimidated by man because he was intimate with God. Hear me out. He wasn't intimidated by what people could do to him because he was intimate with the Lord in a conversation, because he knew what God said about him, and he knew that God's him in a mission. He knew that he had the authority, and he says, so the reminder was he knew who he was. Another great reminder was this. He prayed. He says, give me some time. I'm going to go pray. This is what we talked about last week. So I'm just going to read this. One of the first breaks Daniel was given in his new career platform was to boldly share Nebuchadnezzar's dream, something the magicians couldn't do. So Daniel knew in his heart, if he goes, if I can just spend time with the Lord will reveal this to me. Daniel 2:17 says this. Then Daniel returned to the house after he met with the king and explained the matter to his friends. He urged them to plead for mercy from God in heaven concerning his mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed, ripped from limb to limb, with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel uses this time that it was given to pray. Now, many of us, if the king is coming to you and saying, if you don't perform, I'm going to rip you limb to limb. I'm going to tear you apart. I've already done it with some wise men. I'm going to do it to you too. At this point, I'm telling you, wouldn't you just like me just get a little scared? They're thinking, if we can't deliver, and at this point, can I hear? He hasn't heard anything yet. All he's done is asked the king for a favor to have more time. Lord never revealed anything to him. He's just saying, God, he knows that God will provide if he just prays. If not, it's worth a shot. So he all of a sudden, he gets away without knowing anything. He steps to his side. He says, we're just going to pray. So he goes to his three friends. He says, let's pray about this. Let's go. Where some of us, I'm not saying most of us, will some of us, instead of praying, will spend the next 24 hours trying to find an escape plan. Right? Most of us be like, you got some spoons, I got some knives. Let's start digging our way out of here. Like, let's try to figure out a way to get out of here because I don't know if God's going to show up. But if we go to safety, maybe we can go back home. But Daniel doesn't do this. Daniel's like, listen, the best chance we have is the Lord. Best chance. Best case scenario is do us God's way. So he's given us chance. So he goes with his friends and he began to pray. And Daniel knew, really, if we want things to change, we got to pray. So he got his three friends and he said, let's begin to pray. And some theology professors actually say this is the first time in the New Testament that there's actually corporate prayer. And he all of a sudden says that these three friends begin to pray together. And they begin to say, God, we need you. We need you in this moment. And they ask, and it's almost like in the New Testament it says, where two or more are gathered, they begin to pray. And so they begin to pray. And as Daniel began to pray and as their friends began to pray, all of a sudden they felt like the Lord started telling them a response. Not only did they get the interpretation, but God showed them the dream that the king had. Hear me out. Wasn't just the interpretation. God started revealing the dream that any sorcerer or anybody else could not have and started revealing it to him. And I love this because Daniel prayed before he gave a response. And Daniel began to pray. And so, and I just want to share a few things about prayer. So here it is. He prayed until he felt released. He prayed until he felt peace. Can I just tell you what I think is missing? And I listen, this is from the bottom of my heart to me too. This is a challenge that God has given to me this year. There's been an old phrase many years. My generation before me would say this in churches. And they would say the phrase, you got to pray it through. You got to pray it through. You got to pray until you feel released from it. Anybody ever heard that phrase before? You got to pray until you feel released. I think it's something that we're missing in modern church of America. Here's the reason why. I'm being convicted of this because we can come down the altar and we pray. We can come, we can wake up in the morning saying, I pray for my kids, I pray for this, I pray for this. We can pray for needs. We can maybe someone told you, he says, I have this need, and you just pray for them, and then you walk away. But there's something from offering of prayers to pressing through in prayer. So my question, when was the last time God gave you a prayer and you prayed it until you felt peace that you were done praying for it? When was the last time that you prayed through something until God gave you a release and said, now you're done? Because what I usually do is just give my certain allotted of time. I'm going to pray for this few minutes. I'm going to pray here. When I'm done, then my praying's over. And I think that we shut down our prayers because we think we're done, but God's not done yet. It's interesting because I feel like what Daniel was saying, he's saying, listen, I'm not gonna stop praying for this until God releases. It's like a spiritual pit bull saying, I'm not gonna finish praying for this until God's presence gives me a release from this. And it says that they prayed until God gave them an interpretation, until God gave them the dream, until God began to speak to them and gave them the answers that they were seeking. It's interesting because they were given the answers. They were given the dream. And this is my most spiritual thing I'll tell you all day. They went to the king, they went back, they got a group, they prayed. They got a response from God, and here's the most spiritual thing ever. They went to bed. And most of us would get a response and say, I got it. Let's go back to the king, tell the king what to do. This is what we got it. And instead they said, listen, there's an executioner outside of our room, and we just got done praying, But we were released from the God. We got this. We know we're done. God showed us. God revealed it. We know when the spiritual it's over. So we have peace. Let's just go to sleep and rest till the morning. Can any of you rest when you know there's an executioner outside your bedroom? But they could, because they knew in their heart that God was in control. Sometimes when we sleep here, pretty much what they're saying is, God's got this, I can rest. God's got this, I can get away. I don't need to step in, God's got this. And so what they're saying, Daniel's saying, he says, I'm going to go to bed because I'm going to go to rest. He snoozed and God was still in charge. God spoke and God, and because they surrendered their prayer, they surrendered their need, and they trusted the Lord, that's why they can really, in their heart, trust and find rest. True surrender, you can find true rest. Can I just be honest with you here this morning again? Some of us have a hard time resting because you have a hard time surrendering. You feel like everything is like, if I don't do it, who's going to do it? If I don't do this, who's going to do this? I'm like, sometimes you just got to pray it through. You got to do your best and trust God with his best after that. We just got to surrender it. We got to trust the Lord. We got to send these things. And it's interesting. It's not just sleeping because you need rest. It's sleep because you know he's in charge. Then it says that Daniel and his friends begin to praise. They begin to worship. Great reminder here is after the answer came, he praised. Daniel 2:20-23 says, "Praise be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness. The light dwells within him. I thank you and praise you, O God of fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what is asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Think of how awesome is that. He rested and he just praised. Daniel shares this dream. Verse 29 through 45 says that after he rested and prayed and worshiped, he went before the king and he says, "Here's your dream. Here's your interpretation. Here's what God revealed to me." Here's a portion of the speech that Daniel gave the king. Daniel 2:27 says this, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days." As Daniel stood there, told the king not just the dream, but the interpretation, it was echoed through the chambers what the magicians have said. Only God can do this. King Nebuchadnezzar, with all his glory, and he even said, "Who can ever do this dream, whoever can interpret this, whoever can do this, I will give you riches and honor." The options is, "I'll tear you limb from limb. I will give you riches and honor." And it said this. Another great reminder of the story was Daniel was promoted. Daniel had finally interpreted the dreams that he'd been plaguing the king. The king was delighted. And he promoted Daniel. Daniel was promoted. We talk about thriving in Babylon. It says that that the king went to Daniel and says, "Even though you're a slave, even though you're not from here, I'm going to promote you to an administration in my kingdom." Because anybody who can tell me a dream I had and when I'm sleeping and then interpret it, that's who I want on my side. Here's what Daniel said. I love this part. Daniel's like, "Listen, I didn't get here by myself. My three friends prayed with me. They stayed with me. We praised together, and we were here together." And he says, "I'm only going to be elevated into a promotion if I can bring them with me." And it says that that morning, it says that that day, the king ordered a decree that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be all be part of the kingdom of that day. What's amazing is that king, who was not serving the Lord, gave Daniel and his friends a platform, and he began not just to survive in Babylon, but they began to thrive where God has put them. They begin to be bloom where they planted. It's interesting because here's my thought I've been wrestling with. The king trusted Daniel at this point. The question I've been wrestling with is this, is like, we say things like, you got to trust God. You got to trust God with your heart. You got to trust God with this. What's amazing about this is this, God gave Daniel a platform because God began to trust Daniel with everything that was given. And the question I've been raising myself is saying, does God trust Jarvis? Does God trust me with what I've been given? Does God trust me in those points of position? Does God trust me? Does God trust me with what I've been given? Because Daniel did not go alone. He brought these friends with him. And it's interesting because I believe one of the things that we are called to do as Christians, hear me out, is one of the greatest things that David learned, that Joseph learned, that Daniel learned, that sometimes in order to get your dreams accomplished, you got to help somebody else with their dreams first. That Daniel said, listen, I know he's a terrible king. I know he's a terrible person, that he's ripping people from limbs and limbs. But God has put me in this platform for such a season. He's given me a platform, not that I'm seeking a promotion, but I'm seeking the Lord, and I'm just going to do what God's called me to do. It's interesting because here he is being elevated to a higher position. So I'm just going to share a couple of things before we close today. Number one is this. Are you using the platform that you've been given to glorify the Lord? Think about that. Are you using your business? Are you using your family? Are you using your talents? Are you using your energy? Are you using your things to glorify the Lord? And when I say glorify the Lord, not just glorify yourself, because Daniel wasn't into self-promotion. He was giving all glory to the Lord. He was saying, Lord, this is the Lord's business. I'm just trusting the Lord. And he even says, only God can do this. He says, am I using mine not to glorify myself, but to glorify the Lord? Next question, thought is this. Can God can and will use people of influence and power, people with a platform, to further his kingdom. So we need to pray for these people that we feel like, oh, we can't influence them. We can't change them. Can I just tell you? It wasn't Daniel who gave King Nebuchadnezzar a dream. It was God who literally downloaded a dream into this evil king's mind that's going to need the Lord's intervention to replay it. God uses people in these areas that we think are so distant and far from the Lord. God uses miracles. God uses ways to say, and people say all the time, well, I don't know if that person will have to come to church. I don't know if I pray for that person, if they ever find the Lord. That person is too far away. It says in Scripture that the arm of the Lord is not too short that it cannot save. It says the arm of the Lord is not too short that it cannot restore a heart. And so it says we need to pray for people in position. And the next thought is this, don't let position change or influence you. Don't let a promotion change who you are. Don't let a promotion change. It says keep your character. Next thought is this. We need to take care of our friends. Think about the people in your life who have influenced you. Some of you, my challenge for you this week is I want you to start thinking about the people who've mentored you, the teachers, your pastors, your parents, the people who've helped you get to another level. It's a great week this week to call or text and say, I'm a better person because of you. Because Daniel knew that he needed his friends to help him get to another level. That Daniel knew. Next is this. Both, he praised God publicly before and after victories. He praised. I'm going to close with this. Worship team can come up here. Can I just tell you the most important thing you're going to hear today? That God is a God of miracles. There is nothing, I can't tell you anything else today. I just want you all to be honest with me. Who is in this room? Show of hands. Don't be afraid. This is a good thing to share. Raise your hand. Who is in this church today because somebody invited them to come to church this morning? Think about that. Somebody literally said, hey, can you come to church? You could say, my pastor's a little weird. He's a little off. But come to church anyway. It's interesting to me because I feel like, I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but I heard some of your stories. I know some of the stories of people who invited you and said, I don't know if they would ever come to church. I don't know if they'll ever have their heart be changed. I don't know if they'll ever allow God to be in their life. I don't know if God will ever do this. Some of you in your own ministry, in your own heart right now, have been praying for miracles. So here's what I want you to show your hands. Who right now is praying for a miracle that you feel like is impossible? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. So only a few of us are praying for impossible miracles. I'm telling you right now, if you're not, you need to start praying for the impossible. Your faith needs to start growing. Because I believe with all my heart, when you think about this king who literally is reigning over all the world, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's destroying people, he's ripping people limbs and limbs. Daniel is like the inside man. He's like, and you can say me all the time, saying, well, he was taken. I'm like, can I just be honest with you? I don't think he was taken. I think God put him in a position in exile to change that kingdom from the inside out. His influence wouldn't have came if he was on the outside. His influence came because he was in the inside and God was using him on the inside to work out. Isn't this how God works? It wasn't Daniel who put the dream in Nebuchadnezzar. It was in the middle of the night and no one knew. People were praying and praying. The Israelites were praying every single day. We want to go back home. We don't want to be here. There's prophecies about saying we got to be a nation again. And God is saying, listen, I put you where I put you for such a time as this. Become a nation here. Seek me here. There's going to be miracles in the house here. You may not like it, but this is part of the plan. And I believe we get so mad saying, God, why am I here? What did I do wrong? I love this story because it never mentions anything that Daniel and his friends ever did wrong. It actually mentions that they were great teenagers, that they were skilled, they were the top of their class, and yet they're the ones who are coming to slavery. And yet we sit and blame God saying, God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do wrong? Maybe God is whispering, you didn't do anything wrong. That's why I have you there, because I trust you. I'm not having you be there because I'm disciplining you. I'm having you there because it's part of my mission to do something greater. I just think so often we think we're in situations that we're thinking, I'm here because I'm bad. Maybe you're there because you're a missionary to where you're at. I love this because in the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about how the king's heart began to change, that the wall started breaking down, scales started coming off, and the influence that Daniel's friends had started rising in power. Everybody stand up this morning. God is a God of miracles, and he can speak. Listen, he can speak into any situation. He can speak into any heart. He can speak into any dream because he's a God of miracles. He can speak into an impossible situation because he's a God of miracles. We just close your eyes. I'm not going to pray yet. I just want you to start imagining. What situations in your life right now? I just want you to be really honest where you're at. Think about the areas that you blame God. You're saying, God, why do you have me here? Why am I doing this? Why am I working here? This family, what's going on? Maybe with friends or neighbors or whatever it is, and just start thinking about this, saying, what are the areas that you blame God about that God is actually saying, you can blame me, but you're there for a reason? And maybe we haven't used what God has given us because we haven't sought his best for it. Listen, he is the God of the impossible. I feel like I want to tell some of your parents who have prodigal children who are not serving the Lord. He is the God of the impossible. That he loves your kids even more than you do. That he's going to send, he might send dreams, he might send whatever, but you keep on praying. I believe there's marriages in this room that are literally on the verge of divorce. And you husbands and wives are thinking, there's no miracle, there's nothing here. I'm telling you, the miracle is in the house. That he is the God of the impossible. That no heart is so far that God can't change and deliver and restore and bring back. That God can work through. No government is too far off that God can't restore. No heart is so far away that God can't bring back. No relationship is so severed that God can't bring healing to. That he says over and over again that I am the God of the impossible. That just like the wise men said, we can't do this, only God can. We got to be people who are praying for the impossible. What impossible things that God has put on our hearts. Think about the impossible things. I say this every week. I'm going to say it again. Only God can do a heart change. That's up to him.